Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our last week's reading was the religious portion of Jesus' trial. That trial charged him with blasphemy. It charged him with claiming to be the Son of God. That trial was before the Sanhedrin. This week's reading, it's only hours later, but it's a completely different context, right? This trial is before Pontius Pilate. He's a Roman and he's a governor. Guess how much the governor cares about charges of blasphemy? Not one fig, right? Couldn't care less. So when you get to the governor, you have to change the charge, right? In the Sanhedrin, he's a blasphemer. That deserves death. Before the governor, what do you say? You say, this man has perverted the people and is trying to overthrow the governor. I love that Pilate starts right out by asking the right question. He sees them there. He sees a man charged. He sees the crowd. What charge do you bring? That's where the trial begins, right? What's the charge? They, of course, don't say it right away, right? The first thing they say is, if he weren't a criminal, we wouldn't have even handed him over to you. Pilate's a politician. You know what he's thinking? He's thinking, oh, great, it's going to be one of those things. Nobody's going to tell me the truth. I'm going to get no straight answers. And the first thing he does is wants to push it away, right? Why don't you try him yourselves? What's he saying? I don't want to deal with this. From the very beginning, Pontius Pilate is saying, I don't want to deal with this. And they show their hand. We didn't try him because we don't have the right to execute anybody. Isn't that interesting? They're already telling us where we want this to head. It's not even about guilty or not guilty. We want him killed. We can't do it, so we brought him to you. That's what they're saying. By the way, it fulfills Jesus' word. Jesus had predicted that he would die by crucifixion. If the Jews do execute anyone, not that they're supposed to, but if they do it, they stone you to death, right? Psalm 22 depicts a crucifixion. Jesus predicts a crucifixion. To be crucified, you have to be tried before a Roman governor. That's where they are. And so they were, what did they say? We found this man perverting the nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to Caesar. Now, does the governor care about taxes? Yes, all governors do, right? But this is the thing about it. That's a lie. Jesus had said the opposite, hadn't he? They put him to the test one day. What do you say, Jesus? What do you say about paying taxes? What did he say? Render unto Caesar what's Caesar's. Jesus had never said don't pay taxes. They don't care. It's a lie. You can hear Pilate almost just thinking in his head, I don't want to deal with this. Why can't I go back to breakfast? And so he goes into the chambers and he says to Jesus directly, are you the king of the Jews? Right? Are you the king of the Jews? And I love Jesus' back and forth with him. It's really fun to see the Savior engaging in these things. Do you say this for yourself or did others tell you about me? That's what Jesus says to the governor. And Pilate gets snarky. Am I a Jew? He says it with derision, right? Am I a Jew? Your own people brought you here. And then the little dialogue, I think all of us have heard these words. It's a wonderful dialogue to meditate on. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. By the way, the church should remember that, right? My kingdom is not of this world. And Pilate hears the word kingdom, says, oh, so you are a king. Jesus says, yes. And I came to witness to the truth. And Pilate says famously, what is truth? What is truth? This is what we want to know. Pilate is a governor. Pilate doesn't care about blasphemy charges. The only thing Pilate is doing is in this entire back and forth, Pilate is trying to figure out, is this the kind of man who could actually lead an armed revolt or not? That's all he cares about. Would this man lead an armed revolt? And what's the answer to that? No. Pilate figures it out very quickly. No. And once he figures it out, he wants to get out of the conversation, right? When Pilate said, what is truth? He did not mean to start debating truth. What does he mean? I'm done. I'm done with this whole thing. And so he goes out to the crowd. This man is innocent. I want us to hear this, because it's going to happen several times. First verdict is what? Not guilty. That's the way we say it in court, right? First verdict, not guilty. So the chief priests start pressing. One charge, another, just like before, it starts to conflict, it's garbled. Jesus doesn't say a thing. I think it comes back to, you remember, you know the old phrase, that doesn't dignify an answer. The stuff they're saying is so nonsensical. Jesus won't answer. And then the text intrudes with one of the most engaging little details that Pilate's wife says, have nothing to do with that man. Right? Have nothing to do with that man. I suffered much over him in a dream. Here's another thing they do in their charges, one charge after another, they slip and they say, Jesus is from Galilee. Do you know why they say that? Galilee is a place in Israel with a long history of revolt and trouble. When they say Galilean, they're trying to say, we are telling you this guy is a rebel. You know what? He's a Galilean. You know what a bunch of rebels they are. But Pilate's the governor and he hears Galilee. What does that mean? Not my jurisdiction. Pilate is the governor in the south. Galilee is up in the north. He hears Galilee and he says, hey, guess what? This isn't even my trial at all. It's Passover. Herod Antipas, he's the governor up in Galilee. Herod Antipas is in town. And Pilate says, this is how I'm going to get rid of this thing. Let's send him over to Herod. In fact, Herod is a few blocks away. He sends him over. You should know a couple things about Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas' father was King Herod. He's the man who ordered the murder of all those infants when Jesus was born. That's who we're dealing with here. Herod Antipas himself is the man who ordered the beheading of John the Baptist. That's who this guy is. So Jesus won't talk to him. He knows who he is. He doesn't have a word to say to him. We should know a couple things. Herod is rich. He's powerful. He's kind of a goofball and a playboy. There are people like that in authority sometimes, right? He's rich, and his view is, I'm going to enjoy my money and my power. That's who Jesus is talking to. That's who Jesus will not speak to. Jesus won't even acknowledge him, and Antipas is hot. So he sends Jesus back to Pilate. He's with Pilate. He goes to Antipas. He's back to Pilate. And Pilate is thinking, no, really? And so he says again, this guy has done nothing worthy of death. I've determined it myself. I sent him to Herod. Herod didn't convict him. He sent him back over here. Second verdict, right? What's the second verdict? Not guilty. We want to hear this is the civil government part of the trial. Pontius Pilate has pronounced Jesus not guilty two times. And then these bizarre words. He's not worthy of death. Let me punish him and let him go. What? Can you imagine if you were in a trial and the court said not guilty, we're going to beat you up and let you go? He's trying to appease the people. They won't have it. They don't want him roughed up. They want him killed. So again, Pilate's mentally navigating this, and he figures out, The priests are leading these chants of crucify him, crucify him. And he thinks, once a year I release one prisoner. Instead of talking to the priest, I'm going to talk to the crowd standing out around here, and I'm going to ask them, and he gives a choice, Jesus or Barabbas? And Barabbas is an unsavory character. Barabbas actually has participated in a revolt. Barabbas actually has killed people. And ironically, his name Barabbas means son of the father. Your choice is the son of the father, a murderer and a thug, or Jesus, the son of God. And so Pilate figures, if I give people that choice, they'll take Jesus. What do they say? Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Crucify him. So Pilate figures, maybe if I have him flogged, and by the way, we should know when the Romans flogged you, some people didn't survive that. But Pilate thinks, if I have him flogged, maybe sympathy will kick in. So he has him beaten. They beat you with a leather whip with pieces of bone and metal sewn into it, and press a crown of thorns down over his head, put him in a purple robe to mock him, and Pilate brings Jesus out to the crowd. Behold, the man. Can I let him go now? Third verdict, right? What's the third verdict? Not guilty. And so they insist. Crucify him. Crucify him. We want this man dead. And up till now, they've kept the message straight. This guy is a rebel. This guy's a threat to the government and to peace. And they suddenly, in their anger, garble the message. He also claimed to be the Son of God. And Pilate thinks, what on earth is going on, right? What is going on? And he goes in this time and says to Jesus, who are you and where are you from? And this time Jesus won't answer. He goes out again. They're still yelling. And I want us to hear technically what they said. If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Hear the words, friend of Caesar. That is a technical term in the Roman Empire. Amici Caesari. Very few people have the status friend of Caesar. It's a place of privilege. It's a good status to have, with this caveat. If you ever do anything to make you lose that status, it at least means your exile. It might mean your suicide. You see what they just said? If you let this man go, you will lose your friend of Caesar status. And Pilate suddenly gets, it's now him or me. Right? It's him or me. So this is the point that people often ask a question, and I want to make clear we get it. As horrible as the trial is going, some people will say, but wait a minute, isn't Pilate the governor? Doesn't he have troops to put down the mob? Have you heard that? Pilate's a man of power. Why is he being led around like this? And there's a complicated answer, right? There's a history, like there always is. A couple years earlier, Pilate was involved in an incident called the Affair of the Roman Standards. He had his soldiers march into downtown Jerusalem. They're carrying banners with the face of Caesar on it. Not the name of Caesar, the face of Caesar. And the Jews were offended because they don't believe in making an image. So they see the standards. It goes against the commandment in their mind, and they riot for 5 days. A couple years after that, Pilate wanted to build an aqueduct in Jerusalem. That's to improve the city's water supply. That's a good thing, right? So you think, okay, Pilate is trying to do something for the people, with this caveat. He took the money for the project from the temple treasury. Pilate has offended the people. This caused a riot. His soldiers killed several people. So this is what you should know. Does Pilate have soldiers? Yes, but his job as governor is not to keep using them all the time, right? So they say, crucify him, crucify him. And he's thinking of history now. And he's thinking, if it's him or me, my choice is I can execute this one man or I can lose power. Where's that going to go? Right? Easy enough, right? Jesus goes to the cross. Next week we'll be at the cross. That's the text. I have two more things I want to point out. These are things not in the Bible but written in the church fathers, but I think it's necessary to at least have heard them. Have you ever wondered what happened to Pilate? Did you know that Pilate reigned from 26 to 36? He's the second longest governor in the history of, in the first century history of Israel. He's actually an effective politician. This time, yes, a little emphasis on the word politician, right? His story isn't in the Bible, but the church fathers tell us his wife, remember she said, I've suffered much over this man in a dream. The church fathers say that her name was Procula, and she became a Christian. Pilate was deposed as governor in AD 36. The Samaritans revolted, and the Romans said enough. They deposed him. They did not execute him. They retired him. In the Eastern Church, the Eastern Orthodox, again, post-Bible, but they say that Pontius Pilate, in his retirement, hearing stories of the growth of the church and the wonders that were happening, and hearing repeated reports of the resurrection of Jesus, actually came to faith. So they say. It's not in the Bible, you can buy it or not. But I will say this, Western Christians, including me, are usually surprised to hear that in the Eastern Orthodox Church, June 25th is the day of St. Pontius Pilate and St. Procula. I hope that's so. It is a glorious message to know that Pontius Pilate even was not beyond the reach of the gospel. Can you imagine? Wouldn't that be wonderful if the man who sentenced Jesus to death is in heaven forever because of the death of that Christ? Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.